Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, Father, we thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. We thank you for this time that you have set upon us, set apart for us, Father. And we ask, Father, that you hear our prayer. Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins, that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our shortcomings, Father, when we fail to live up to the standard. Don't see things the way you see, Father. But we know when we don't see things the way you see it, or don't react the way you would react, Father, that is for our growth as we are learning, Father. We thank you for the many lessons and the blessings, Father, that you give us throughout this life, Father, to bring us closer to you and make us more like you and ultimately become exactly like you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King. In his name, we ask, Father, that you continue to heal us, Father, especially our Ema. Continue to keep your hand over her. Continue to strengthen her according to your good will, Father. And anyone who is ailing physically, mentally, spiritually, we thank you for the joy that you brought from us, Father, brought to us, Father, for the birth of new children, for the growth of the older children, and for the growth of ourselves, Father. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for strengthening us. We thank you for allowing us to make mistakes so we can grow, Father. Most of all, Father, we thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for the song goes, love without a limit. Just unconditionally loving us, Father. Through the hard times, through our stubbornness, through our just flat-out disobedience, Father, you still love us. And we thank you for that. Father, we just ask that you continue to open up our eyes and our ears and our mind to your word, your truth, Father, that we may become better sons and daughters for you. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, now soon coming King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat Brother Dale Wells. and another magnify the Torah, make it honorable. And today, we will be talking about unconditional love. You know, Abba, over the years, he really softened my heart, you know, on occasions. I was asked by people, do I have feelings? It was like the way people saw me. I was heartless, so to speak. I wasn't empathetic. I couldn't relate to people's feelings. I couldn't get into their feelings. I'm like, man, you crying over that? Come on now. This ain't nothing to cry over. I had that stony heart. But now, you know, I'm kind of like a cream puff now, man. Over the years, I can't even watch a nice little show on TV. And I know it's fake. When I say a show, I'm talking about like an anime, a cartoon. You know, because some of these cartoons are written, and it's like, oh, yes, they're united in this, and a tear starts forming in my eye or something like that. Sometimes I end up crying over fake anime. You know, because over the years, you know, Abba has really softened my heart. So, you know, a good story and all that stuff, it gets to me. And, you know, I got to thinking about just how he changed me. But I was listening to, you know, a Mary J. Blige song. I was, you know, pondering on it. It said, love without a limit. You know, and that's what Abba had for us. You know, he loved us limitlessly. You know, to the point where he long suffers with us. He's patient with us. And there's no conditions on his love. Where man has all these conditions, has all these things that he wants and says, well, love is like this and love is like that. And he had all these, he's boxed it in. And all this came from, I was on Instagram, and it was a woman on there quoting something that her mother told her. So her mother told her, she said, when you forgive a man, and this is from the woman's perspective, she said, when you forgive a man and you keep on forgiving a man, you know, the man might have hurt you or something like that, but when you forgive a man, he loves you a little bit more. But you love him a little bit less. So at the end of the relationship, or after you forgave him so much, this man is now, his whole heart is into you. But you have no love for him. Your heart is drawn away from him. And this is something that a woman, like I said, a woman's mother was explaining love to her about. And I can kind of relate to that. And in a lot of cases, it's true. You know, that statement is true when you're dealing with humans, but Abba's not like that. You know? Our Heavenly Father is not like that. And when I was pondering on that, I'm like, told Abba, thank you for not being like that. Thank you for not having love like that. Because that's a condition. You know, it's, he doesn't see love the way that we see love. You know, and you know, that's mainly the thing that, and we're gonna go through some passages and everything and read a story about how Abba see love and all that, but it's stuff that we already been through, but it's just a reminder. You know, it's just a reminder, because that's something that we should never forget. His love is unconditional, and it's also something that we ought to work towards. You know? So, very first passage, Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. And it reads, "Seek ye Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him." "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our Elohim, our mighty one, for he will abundantly pardon." So whatever you're doing, Abba gonna forgive you for it. Not saying you're not gonna get punished for it, but he is going to forgive you for it. Verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but water the earth, and bring it forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So his word went forth. We accepted it. Now his word has a work to do. And it will accomplish it. See, Abba word will accomplish whatever it set out to do. But we have to work it. Okay? Any advice you give to somebody, okay, let me correct that. Any sound advice you give to somebody works, because people dwell on it. Your word goes forth. You tell a person what they need to do in a situation, they think about it. Now, whether they do it or not is up to them. But your word didn't accomplish what you set it out to do, if y'all understand what I'm saying. So his word went out, and in his word, he tells us what love is, how we ought to do it, and teaches us about forgiveness and this, that, and another. But his ways are higher than us. So we're going to have to work harder to reach that level, to just attempt to reach that level. And don't get me wrong, in this flesh holds us back from a lot of things, right? Like the words say, and it talked about prophesying, how we prophesy in part. That's because we know in part. We prophesy in part. And, you know, it's a partial thing going on right now. Because we're in this flesh. But because we're in this flesh, do that mean we don't work towards that goal? No, we're supposed to, like the word also say, press forth, press towards that mark. Work towards that mark of your higher calling. So the way Abba sees love is something that we ought to be working towards. And we've read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 all these different things that love is, how love exists. It's not puffed up. It doesn't envy. Doesn't seek the harm, et cetera, et cetera. So is this part, are we working this? Because his word went forth. And if we are working this, how is there so much strife? Where's all the strife at? How is the strife still existing if we're working this love? Let's look at something else. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And it reads, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Messiah died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But Yah commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Messiah, died for us." So, what do you say? Here's I'm approved. I love you. I'm going to die for you while you're in a sinful state. Right? So, side note. Anybody who say they're not doing this until they get their life right, Messiah didn't wait for you to get your life right. To give up his life, to show his love. Don't you think you ought to do the same? Don't wait to get your life right. Not that you could ever get your life right, because if you could do it, all this was unnecessary. If it was within your grasp to do it. But this is the type of love that Yah has for his kids, in that he got all these rambunctious kids, all these disobedient kids, and I'm going to send my love to them, even in all their disobedience. I'm going to send my blessing to them in their disobedience. I'm going to send a part of me to them, to die for them in their disobedience, even though they say, "I don't want it," even though they say, "I can't stand you, Dad," even say, go to get away from me, I want no part of you, Yah. Because that's what we say. You know? There's nothing more hurtful than to hear the words from somebody you love that they don't love you. That is a hurtful, hurtful feeling. And you're a parent, and your child says that. Your child says, I don't want nothing to do with you. F you, Dad. I'm never speaking to you again. You're not going to see your grandbabies. That's quite the hurtful feeling. See, but we say that to Abba every day. Forget you, Father. I don't want to abide in your love. Forget your love. I'm going to go about it my way. What's that song? I did it my way. I don't need your way, Father. See, and man has been saying this to the Most High for years upon years, centuries upon centuries, millenniums upon millennium. Still sent his son to die for us, to take to take that beating. And here's the thing. The word, he said he commended his love to us. And the word commendeth in verse 8 is a Greek word. It's a Greek compound word. But it literally means stand with. His love stands with us through our foolishness. Through our disrespect. Through our disobedience. His love stands with us. I'm not going nowhere. And this is where this is what he says to us on a day-to-day basis. I'm not going nowhere. Forget you. Get away from me. Nah, I'm right here. Forget you. Get away from me. I can't stand you. Okay. All right. No problem. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Since you don't want me, I'm going to let you go on about your business. You walk that away. I'm going to walk this away. I'm going to walk away from you. Since you don't want me, because the word says this too. You can't just keep pushing that word away. You say, you don't want me? Okay. You want to vex the Holy Spirit? It'll leave. I'm going to walk away. He said, if you draw near unto me, I'm going to draw near unto you. But if you tell me to go away, you push away from me, fine. I'm going to push away from you. But guess what? All you got to do is say you're sorry. And I'm right there. That's all you got to do is repent. And, you know, and I'm not trying, and forgive me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trivialize it like that. Because some people believe that's all they got to do is say they're sorry. No, you got to show Abba that you're true about. Because we've read in the book about Ahab, Achab. In the book is Ahab, one of the worst kings Israel ever had. But he got a word from Abba about all this evil that he was doing, and Abba, he felt sorry. And he turned about, and Yahweh said, Look at my servant Ahab. Look at him. His heart turned towards me. So it's more than just, Dad, I'm sorry. No, your heart turns back. Your heart turns to Abba. And you start walking on that path again. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, before we go there, I think John 15, John 15, verses 12 through 14, before we go to Matthew chapter 11. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, continuing on that, the fact that he laid his life down for us. And, you know, one, told Abba by Abba for sending your son to do that. But let's read what Yahushua says. He says, and told Abba by Yahushua for doing that, because he had options. But because he loved his father so much and obeyed his father that much, he did this for us. And because he loved us so much, you know, it's sort of like in the eyes of the Most High. We don't see it. But in his eyes, we're special. And it's sort of like when you find the love of your life. Everybody else might not think that much of them, but to you, they're perfect. Somebody might say, man, she ain't all that. Man, she this, that, and another, yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da. Might point out all her flaws. See, but in your eyes, man, she got freckles. Man, I like freckles. You know, they perfect. Because you love them that much. And you try to convey to them how special they are to you by showing them the love you have for them. And that's what Abba is doing for us. See, Satan has us thinking, and don't get me wrong, it's nothing for us to be puffed up about or anything like that. Well, you're the dust of the earth. Yes, we are the dust of the earth. Yes, we are. But Yahweh loves this dust of the earth. He loved what he did with the dust of the earth. He loved it so much that he put his breath of life within it. And allowed it to walk and talk and experience this world that he gave dominion over. He said, look, you're so special to me. All the stuff that I made for my pleasure, which including you, I'm going to give you dominion over everything that I made. You're in charge of it. You're the boss. That's how special, and that's how much he loves us. What? He says, John chapter 15, verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So the way we look at love has to change. It can't be, yeah, I love them, but. Yeah, I love them, but. Because Yahushua didn't say, yeah, I love you, but I ain't going to die for you. No, quite the opposite. He said, I love you so much that I will die for you. I'm not going to put a but there. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Remember when you read it, he says, scarcely would somebody attempt to die for somebody that's righteous. But Abba gave up his son. Abba Yah gave up his son when we were yet still sinners. When we was unworthy, he gave us the greatest gift one could ever get. To the ones that are most unworthy. Verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. I'm giving up my life so you can learn how to love. See, I'm commanding you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not saying that it is not a whole bunch of, and we can't pigeonhole it. We can't pigeonhole it into this just, oh, that's all I got to do? Love like he loved? Ain't a task all in itself. People try to trivialize what Yahushua did, and you cannot trivialize it. Because the way we see love has to change. In order for us to fulfill that commandment, we have to elevate. We have to experience stuff. We have to experience pain and heartache. We have to experience disappointment. We have to experience things not going right. It's just everything just falling apart sometimes. But we have to experience it in order to get like him, because he experienced it. There ain't no shortcuts to this. No shortcuts to this. And a lot of times we wish that it was, but it ain't. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's unlike the yoke that we find out in this world. You know, these little TV shows, some of them, they're nuts. Some of them are crazy. I'm currently watching a show. It's a show on Netflix. It's a social experiment called Love is Blind. And what they're doing, they took X amount of men, X amount of women, and they never saw each other. And so they're matching them up, doing like a matchmaking type thing, where they talking to one another and everything, but you never saw this person. So you're trying to connect with them based off of just what they're talking about, what you hear, and, you know, common interests, et cetera, right? But they never saw each other in this first phase. It's a couple different phases to it. You got all these people just based off of common interests and common interests and conversation. Talking about they love one another. And the thing is, they're supposed to get married. So after this person, like with the conversation, they propose to the person. And they really get engaged. They get engaged, and then in 4 weeks, they have a marriage. They have a wedding. So that's the thing of this, and it's supposed to be based off of just them having this conversation. So what they're trying to do is take the physical aspect out of it first, and connect on a quote unquote emotional slash spiritual slash this, that, and another level outside of the physical, right? So you got these people, and they've been through that first part, and they propose and this, that, and another. But even within that, you had people confused because you had multiple women liking the same guy. And multiple guys liking the same women. So that connection was still being blurred. It's still being askewed. Right? But all of them, they said how they love each other and this, that, and another. So now the scene shift, and everybody's at a resort down in Cancun, Mexico. So now you got the physical aspect of it, because after they propose, that's when they see each other for the first time, then they go on to their little honeymoon. So all of them is at the same resort, and, you know, now they're seeing each other for the first time, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, the men are doing the man thing. Well, you know, some of the men, I should say, well, I don't want to force you, you know, because they want to smash. Well, I don't want to force you to do this, and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, we wait. All that whole waiting for marriage and everything, that out the window. That love turned into lust. You know, and so they still had a nice little time and this, that, and another. You know, but that's about as far as I got. I ain't gonna go through the whole thing. But this is is a social experiment. But the problem is, and I like how they did it a little bit, but a man or a woman can say anything. You know, you're not seeing this person. You're not this, that, and another. You can't read their body language. You can't do this, that, and another. You can tell me anything. I can tell you anything. Right? But more importantly, see, that's why I understand the ancients a little bit more with a lot of these, some of these arranged marriages. You know? Because, and don't get me wrong, even that fails sometimes. But the hope is that the son would take care, take after a good father. The father trained his son up and with certain values and this, that, and another. And the mother trained the daughter up with certain values and this, that, and another. And it's like these people would be good together. You know, these two would be good together. Because, you know, hopefully this man, this young man will take after his father. And hopefully this young woman will take after her mother. This one living a life at all. That one living a life at all. See, that commonality right there helps a lot. You know? And how, and I'm saying all that because, see, people try all these different things to try to define love when Abba already defined it for us. He already told us what he expects from us, how to be loving. He already told us what his love is. Right? So, you know, and I'm saying all that, you know, because Yahushua was saying, take my yoke. See love the way I see it. Love a person the way I love them and how I have showed you love. It's not hard. It's not burdensome. So many people, you know, they try to buy love and they try to be people pleasers and, if I do this for them, then they'll love me. And if I do that for them, then they'll love me. That's not how it works. If they would just do what the words say, it wouldn't be so much chaos in this world. It wouldn't be so much chaos in these households. All the beef and all the yelling, for what reason? All you're doing is getting a headache. All you're doing is getting a headache. You can get your point across without yelling. Chapter 18, verses 20 through 23. Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 20 through 23. Ezekiel, excuse me. 18, starting at verse 20, it reads, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. in his righteousness that he had done, he shall live. So, again, that's love. You out here doing all this wrong, all this, and see, it's like we talked about earlier, you doing all this wrong, and you pushing Abba far away, pushing him far away. And now if you start to do right, he said, I'm not going to bring up all this evil you did. Even though man does that, to mention all your mistakes. Quick to mention all your past transgressions. All your screw-ups and this, that, and another. Right? And if you look up that word for mention, that word is zakar. Which means to mention, or it really means to remember. So that's what he's saying. I'm not even going to remember all the stuff you did. I ain't bringing it up. See, but we remember the stuff we did, and we remember it so much. It's like Yaakov said. See, it's not. Be honest with yourself. Yahweh is teaching us, and I hope y'all get at least that much, that Abba Yah wants us to be honest with ourselves. That's the only way we're going to change. That's it. Be honest with yourself. See, he don't have this brother going on that path. Look, man, we like to sin. We love to sin. It's part of us. And the fact that when we do what the Torah said, that's abnormal to us. That's abnormal. That's not something that we want to do or something that comes inherent to us. No, sin comes inherent to us. We got built-in sin. I'm not going to mention all those things. See, that's another thing. We got to see like that. See, because if I'm mentioning all these stuff, you know, and don't get me wrong, all right? He has to correct us. He has to show us where we erred. Where we err. All right? Very well. You got an issue with pride. Got to sit you down. I'm going to show you this, 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 and this. I'm going to show you where you had this issue with pride from. Now, how my memory kicks in, it's okay. See, and he's not making mention of this, but you have a record of it in your mind. Right? So you can go back and say, well, I had issues with that. I got pride. Okay. And then that was pride. Okay. And went all the way back to Ariel saying, man, you got an issue of pride. And it ran that long with the specks and the blemishes. Okay, son. I told you through my servant way back when. Excuse me. I told you through my servant way back when. Now I'm going to take care of this issue of pride. Because he tells Israel, all through the book, look, y'all doing wrong. Y'all transgressing my law. Remember, I'm the one that brought y'all out of Egypt, not these gods. Remember, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not these gods. Come on, y'all, remember this stuff. So when I pop you, don't get upset. It's for your good. Abba wants us to be with him. And we can't be with him like this. You don't want no part of this. This corruptible, this flesh that's just fleshly. You know, our brother said something really profound to me way back when, and you know, it wasn't nothing crazy. But it was profound because these are different things you really don't think about. He said, man, what does the flesh produce? Everything that the flesh produces stinks. Like physically. And this is a physical thing that is supposed to teach us something spiritually. So he's got the talk. He said, when you urine stinks. Feces stinks. Sweat stinks. You know, all these things that the flesh produces, and even in the crevices, some don't wash behind your ears for a couple of days. Then reach back there and smell. It's gonna stink even behind your ears. Your hair can stink. Anything that the flesh produces and everything that it produces stinks. So when the word comes a little bit further, say, look, we can't do nothing in the flesh to please Abba. Why? Because everything the flesh produces stinks. He said, I want to smell something good. But all this flesh is producing is funk. It was profound to me. But think about that. It's something that we really, you know, if these they hit you crazy because it's like, man, you know, well, wow. I'm not even thinking about something like that, but wow. It's the truth. You know, but let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, all those transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. And his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 4. So for the world who don't know what love is, this is how Abba sees love. And if we can do this, this place will be a lot better off. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It never fails. It doesn't end. Look up the word fail in the Greek, number 1601. The word is ekpizo. It's a compound word. It means to drop away, specifically to be driven out of one's course. figurative to lose, become efficient. So love is going to stay the course. So you cannot divorce a person and say that you still love them because you didn't stay the course. See, if love brought you and that person together, right? Love brought you and that person together, and y'all don't stay the course. Love went missing somewhere. It's not love anymore. It's one of those abstract Greek things. But it ain't what Abba called love, because it failed. It ceased. It stopped. And that's something, according to this word, that's something love don't do. Love don't lose, the word says. I mean, we all been seeing these pictures and, you know, videos and movies and stuff like that where somebody, the protagonist sees something that happens to somebody they love, and they just go on like a one man. They can overcome anything because of the love they have for this person, and they finally get the person, and yada, 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 and this is what... That's what happens. You know, it strengthened them. And it gave them the power to overcome. And because I love you this much, I will not lose. That's some real life stuff. Because Abba loves us so much, he will not lose. See, but we the ones with the attitude. We the ones that want to circumvent the rules and go about things our way and be disobedient. We don't want to abide in his love. So, family, not a real long lesson today. But Abba just put on my mind how much he loves us and how much he really wants that love to be reciprocated. There's nothing like a good hug, you know, from somebody that you love. Nothing like it. That embrace, you know. There's nothing like it. So Abba's sitting up here embracing us and holding us, and we kind of trying to push him away, trying to back him up off. Instead of embracing them back. So family, let's just do more. Now let's look at this example. Almost forgot about it. Went back to my notes. Almost forgot about it. But 2 Samuel. We're going to read chapter 13, and this right here is, we're going to read the whole chapter. This right here, we got an example in the word of some things of how humans see love. Told Abba about Abba for making me check them notes. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 13, starting at verse 1, and it reads, "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he felt sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." So Amnon, two of David's kids, you know, David had many wives, had a couple wives. Two of his kids, you know, Amnon got a thing for Tamar. And she looks so good to him that he can't function. I'm like, oh, my goodness, she is fine. Oh, she's so fine, she make my stomach hurt. You know, I love this girl so much. I'm feeling her, right? Absalom's sister. So, verse 3, it says, and he wanted to be with this girl. He loves her. Loves her. Right? So he says, verse 3, it says, "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah. Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day?" What's going on with you, man? You're just not right. You know, you're just not right. What's going on with you? He says, "Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto her, to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So this dude being the slick dude is okay. You want your sister, I got you. But this you can do, act like you sick, get in the bed, act like you sick. Your father checks on you every day. He's a good dad. So when he check on you, tell him you sick, and tell him you want your sister to come over and make some bread for you and feed it to you. You want your sister to take care of you. Right? Verse 6, he says, "So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes." Now here we go. "And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him." So first thing he did, got rid of the witnesses. Now he is starting to... He loves this woman. He loves her. Right? He says, he got rid of all the men. He's about to execute his plan. Verse 10, it says, "And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may lay eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them in unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, lie with me, my sister. And she said, and she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. So she's saying, look, don't force me to do this. Don't rape me. People shouldn't, first of all, you ain't supposed to force a woman, no way. But especially in Israel. And especially a woman that you love. Because remember, he loves this woman. He says, verse 13, she's still talking. Ah, whither shall I cause my shame to go? How am I, look, you do this, what am I supposed to do? If you take this from me, how am I supposed to see myself? Where's my shame going to go? Everybody going to know about this. Ain't something you can hide. He says, and whither shall my chain to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. She's like, look, all right, you feeling this way about me. Don't take this. Talk to our father, and he's not going to withhold you. He's going to allow us to marry. That's what he said. That's what she said. I'm like, hey, look, y'all two going to be together? All right, y'all got my blessing. But don't take this from me. One, you're going to shame me. Two, you're going to shame yourself. And three, how is David going to be looked? What's going to happen with Dad? You know, see, because in these quote-unquote, pardon the noise, and when you love these persons, right, when you love these people, and it turns into something else, right? Or Satan. But it turned into something else. His quote-unquote love ended up being lust. Why? Because it ain't what Yahweh said it was. It's not love according to the Most High. See, and that's why, you know, when these little social experiments and stuff like that go on TV, well, we got a picture of it. We already know what man going to do. Abba wrote about this centuries ago. Not saying that they're raping anything on the TV show, but they lusting. They lusting. What's the difference? Right? He says, let me just read it 12 again. Start at 12. He said, and she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not, whither shall my shame to go? And as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Verse 14, he says, howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly because he laid with her. He took that which was precious, and now he hates her. That right there lets you know he ain't love in the beginning. He did not love that woman in the beginning. Right? So he says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. So you raped this woman, and now you're hating her more than what you loved her. Right? It says, and Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. So he raped this woman and then kicks her out. This is the woman that he loved. Right? Verse 16. And she said unto him, there is no, why? She's, and she is reasoning with him. And she said unto him, there is no cause. He said, this evil in sending me away is greater than the other than thou hast did unto me, that thou didst unto me. For he would not hearken unto her. So not only, look, it's bad enough you rape me. Now you're kicking me out too after you laid with me? You done took this and then you going to kick me out too? He says, verse 17, he says, then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out for me. And bolt the door after her. Verse 18. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her. Now, we looked at, and this is the same word, side note. Just like when we looked at, who had the book of Monica? I think it was Joseph. Joseph, if I remember right, had the cloak of many colors. This is that same word. It's just a long tunic, right? So it didn't have, she was wearing a long tunic, all right? And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. So she's distraught. She just got raped by her brother. Then after the rape, he didn't look to wife her. He said, get out. You know? And she was reasoning with him. In her mind through all of this, it's like, you brought shame upon me and upon yourself. And now you're doing something even more shameful by kicking me out. Says, you know, just think of the head space she in right now. It says, Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on crying. Verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate. Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. See, he went about things the wrong way. And he was very wroth because Tamar was right. Look, if you loved your sister like that, you know, I wouldn't have withheld her from you. So look what you done did. You went about things the wrong way. After you went about things the wrong way, now you hate her. Says, but when David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. Verse 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. So, incident in him not understanding what love is has now affected and spilled over to the whole family. His brother hates him. His father is upset. Tamar now got to stay at her other brother's house. Right? He says, verse 23, he says, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold now, thy servant has sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. So he did. Absalom said, got some sheep shears. Look, it's time to shear the sheep. Come on down with me, Dad. Come on. Dad said, no. I already invited everybody. Come on, Dad. David said, no. No, y'all go ahead down. Y'all boys go ahead and do what y'all going to do. I got to take care of stuff here. You know, but go with my blessing. All the rest of his sons, all the rest of his brothers was there. Right? So he says, then Absalom said, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. And Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and valiant. So now Absalom waited 2 years. 2 years of hating this brother. 2 years plotting. That's how I'm going to get him. He going to get drunk. I'm going to get one of my servants to kill him. And my servant ain't got to worry about nothing because I gave the order. Right? He says, verse 29, and the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. So they saw the murder, this man. He had his servants kill his brother. came straight into the world, man, just got killed, let's go. Everybody just runs. They scat. Verse 30, and it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So he got some misinformation. They think that they don't see nobody out there, but they see that body, and they know Absalom did it. So he came back and told David, look, Absalom then killed all your sons. He said, well, no. And now he's going through the mourning process because he's thinking all his sons is dead. Verse 32, and Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar, who years he plotted to kill him. 2 years he waited to get this man drunk and have his servants kill him. Verse 33, now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hill, by the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's son come, as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of king longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So all that went down because of us not seeing love the way Yahweh sees love. And that's something, you know, documented within the history of the Most High. Now, by today's standards, you know, it seemed weird. You know, when you read that story, because it's like, you know, this, you talking about rape, and you talking about, you know, brother with sister, and all these things that went down. Weird components, if we look at it by today's standards. But let's not miss what Abba is trying to say in that story. It all went down like that because we don't see love the way he sees love. He was so infatuated with her beauty. I love her. I love her. I love her. I love her. No, you didn't love her. You loved the way she looked to you. That's what you loved. You love her visage, her image. You loved her body. You loved how she looked. That's it. Because as soon as you laid with her, now you hate her. Again, we have to elevate how we see love. And the love that we have turn it into the way Mashiach said. Love one another as I have loved you. He loves us unconditionally. Therefore, we ought to love one another unconditionally. Last passage of Book of Romans, chapter 8. Read verse 35, then we're going to jump down to 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yah, which is in Mashiach, Yahusha, HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you, Almighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, thank you once again for the breath of life and the Shabbat. Abba, thank you for loving us all beyond all measure, for having your mercies upon us all. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for watching over us, Father. Thank you for strengthening us when we need it. Thank you for the lessons that we go through. Thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. Thank you for everything else. Thank you for being our all in all. Thank you. Just thank you, Abba. We ask, Father, that you put your spirit upon our brother, I believe, Shabbat Ellis teaching. If it's not him, the next Moray that teaches, Father. Father, we ask that you open up their eyes, their ears, unto your word. We ask, Father, that you edify us through them, Father, that your spirit comes through, your words come through, and that we are ready to receive, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over our Ema. Continue to heal her. Continue to bring her back, strengthen her, and everyone who is suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, Father. You give us that clean bill of health, Father. Father, continue to watch over all the children. Ingrain in them, Father, ingrain your ways into them, Father. Let them be strong, strong warriors for you. Let them learn, them grow up, and let them continue to walk your path, Father. Father, if we are anxious, remind us that your love don't fail. If we are doubtful, remind us that your love don't fail. Whatever it is that we go through, Father, remind us that your love don't fail. Thank you for sending your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. And it's through him, Father, that we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. 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 Shabbat shalom, family. It's your brother Dale Well. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
Your love is sweet, I cannot lie.
No greater love than you.